Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, the verses 9 through 14. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. And the Pharisee posed and prayed like this, "O God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." Meanwhile, the tax man, slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, "God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God." If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. May the scripture readings of this morning speak to all of us and reveal to us that God indeed loves us deeply, with a love that will never, never let us go. Brothers, sisters, the well-known John Wesley, he was the founder of the Methodist Church, was a very humble person. And one day he was walking along a narrow path when he met a man who totally disliked him. So this arrogant man said to John Wesley, "You know what? I never step aside for a fool." Wesley replied, "I always do." And he stepped aside. Jesus tells a delightful story of two people arriving at church for a prayer meeting. And they were different in many ways. One was a Pharisee, well respected, very religious, setting a good example to everyone. The other was exactly the opposite. Known as a despised tax collector for the Romans, and if you served the Romans in those days, you were in the bad books of every Jew. So, when he came in, many considered him as a traitor, a sinner, and a thief. So one of them, the first one, marched straight up to the altar. It was actually like a perfect photo opportunity for him. And if they only had cameras in those days, that will definitely have made a very good photo. And while he was walking, he was actually spreading his colorful robe. Finally, he cleared his throat and he prayed out loud. And this is what he said. "O God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week. I tithe on all my income. But meanwhile... the tax man slumped into the shadows, his face in his hands, not even daring to look up. And he had only one thing to say, and it came with tears. "God, give me your mercy. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner." So, obviously this tax collector had something that the Pharisees badly needed. I was thinking, how can one describe it? And the best that I could come up with, we can call it, he had the gift of inadequacy. And people who have this gift realize that they are incomplete and that they stand in need for forgiveness, dependent on God's grace. And this is the crux of the text. Jesus tells us that inadequacy is a necessary prelude to grace. Without such a sense of inadequacy, the Pharisee's prayer was nothing but empty words. Nothing but empty words. Filled with a sincere sense of unworthiness, the poor sinner's plea for mercy echoed. All the way right to the heart of God. See, the Pharisee was a good, outstanding citizen. He was actually the type of person that we would be proud to have as a part of our community and our church. He obviously enjoyed the work he did, and he was actually thanking God that he was able to perform his duties. However, his words were hollow. Obviously, there was something missing. Not only in his words, but also in his life. Something was wrong, and he just did not get it. Well, he actually thought that he could win God's favor by his own accomplishments, not realizing that just the opposite was happening. He was alienating himself from God and from others through his proud attitude. His attitude separated him from others. He was so full of himself that there was no place and no need for God left in his life. The Pharisee failed to realize that we draw closer to God and to others only when we are able to admit that we are also human, admit that we have our own shortcomings, and that we do rely and hope and pray for God's grace. This has to do with a true relationship with God. Without such a direct relationship with God, our lives always remain incomplete. I've met so many people in my life who wandered across the world, who bore that witness. I only became complete when I met my Savior, and when I started looking at my life through the eyes of God. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No exceptions. And in 1 John we find this verse, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is definitely not in us. So, understanding our inadequacy actually becomes a prelude to open the door for the grace of God in our lives. The tax collector was aware of and ashamed of the life that he lived. And you see it according to the traditions of those days, the way they did things. There was a proper prayer stance. You had to get into stance when you pray. He could not even assume the proper prayer stance. He would not even look up to heaven. And when he prayed, he called attention not to his virtues, but actually to his sins and not to his accomplishments. There in the temple, he opened himself up to God, trusting in God and not in himself. And the Bible says, when this man prayed, God was actually listening. God heard his prayer. Aware of his need for God, the tax collector, right there in the temple, was touched, he was changed, and in that moment, the skies opened for his spiritual life, and he was able to touch in prayer the face of God. You know, there's truth in saying there is so much good in the worst of us, there's so much bad in the best of us, that it ill behooves any one of us to find fault with the rest of us. Some people put on their holier-than-thou expressions and let people think that, oh, they have it all together. And there are many folks in our times writing church folks off as a bunch of super saints. And then there's others who prefer to avoid church folks because in the lives, in the examples of many church folks, they begin to compare and they realize, I have something missing in my life. There is an emptiness. My Sunday mornings at the beach do not satisfy me. Better to go on a Saturday. Because there is a time, no exception, when people need to become very quiet within themselves and open themselves to the influx of God's shining love for God's people. So if you look around you this morning, you will notice there's no one here with a harp, no one with a halo. I don't see anyone with a set of wings. The church is a wellness center where people come to get well. A wellness center where people come to stay strong because they know when they exit these doors this morning, they will go back into the world. A life that has to be taken on. A life with challenges. Church is not a museum for saints. The church is a place where we come realizing our emptiness and our need for God. Oh, I was glad when I woke up this morning and the Spirit said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Have you ever felt that way? Wow, Sunday. Time to reach out. Time to not only be with people I love in church, but time to be quiet, to pray, and to sense in a very special way that God is with me. Wherever I am, wherever I go. And this begs a very personal question. Do you have God's gift of inadequacy? Did you make your way to church in search of something that you really wanted, in search of wholeness, inner peace, and a joy that passes all understanding? Better than trumpeting our perceived accomplishments, we may embrace this golden moment in church this morning now to admit to God that we are not perfect. To tell God about our needs, knowing in faith to receive God's peace. A real prayer is definitely not words that we mumble and formulate and try to make them sound fancy. Real praying comes from deep within, deep, deep within, and it exposes our soul and our being before our God. And that's why, I'm not ashamed to say, often throughout my own life there came times when I found myself in tears, begging, God, have mercy. Help me not to teach others while I have an emptiness in my life, in my spiritual life. God, give mercy. Are we ready to do that this morning? Come then. Come then. The table of grace, forgiveness and mercy is prepared specifically for you. Amen.